Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Ahoy, mates! Welcome aboard another voyage of Pirate Money Radio, the show that sails against the storms of fiat tyranny, cultural confusion, and counterfeit ideas to chart a course toward liberty, security, values built on biblical truth. I'm your captain, Kevin Freeman, author of Pirate Money, come to you from the heart of Texas as we head toward America's 250th birthday. And in this episode, we're diving into deep waters, the connection between honest money, real Christian faith, the spiritual battles raging in politics, and we've got an amazing guest. But first, let me bring on my favorite first mate and co-host today, the woman who keeps me grounded in faith and family values, the love of my life, my wife, Marnie Freeman.
I'm excited to be here. I love all the pirate references. I love it. And you know that we, as we raise our family and look at the world that our kids are inheriting, we need to have wise stewardship of money and definite discernment of our faith with the craziness going on right now. And I'm looking forward to unpacking that with you and with our special guest.
Absolutely, Marnie. Listeners, if you've been following the cultural chaos, you know that there are forces trying to redefine everything, including Christianity itself. That's why we're thrilled to have a true kingdom strategist and prophetic voice joining us.
Well, before we bring him on, and he is an amazing guest, we want to cover at least two topics. The role of biblical money, because it's getting harder and harder to cover all of our expenses, our grocery bills, family things, these days with all the rising prices, as you know. And how do we sort through all the noise and the fake, like I said, fake Christianity that's going on when we're trying to raise families and babies and grandbabies and all that. These things are important and real-life issues that me as a mom, moms, fathers face.
By the way, let me congratulate you, Marnie, as the mother of the bride. What a great wedding and amazing send-off to our baby daughter, now married and starting a family of her own. And speaking of bold voices who aren't afraid to call out counterfeits, we do have a very special guest sailing with us today. We just saw him with his wife, daughter, son-in-law, and granddaughter at the wedding. Yeah. He's a best-selling author of Voice That Shakes Nations and one of the sharpest minds connecting faith, culture, and politics. It's Dr. Lance Wallnau. Lance, welcome aboard the Pirate Money ship. You've been known to walk into spiritual war zones like a modern-day privateer commissioned by God to take back territory. Some people call you controversial. I'm just going to call you correct. Welcome, Lance.
Well, ahoy, Captain. It's good to be aboard your ship in these here stormy waters.
You know, you're doing such amazing things. I've been in your studio, which is phenomenal. I've been with you around the country at various conferences and things. I've watched you up on stage leading leaders of this That's country. Right. And I don't know how many people I know that are friends. Dr. Ben Carson and Dr. Lance Wallnau, we were friends with Donald J. Trump, but it's so good to have you.
And Dr. Freeman. Doctor.
Hey, Lance.
What's that song, Doctor, Doctor? I got
a bad
case.
News.
I got a bad case.
That's
we're not going to sing it.
Yeah. No, they pay us not. American Family Radio begs us not to have me singing on there, so we're not going to do that. But Lance, before we dive deeper, one of the powerful frameworks that you've taught for years is the seven mountains of influence: religion, family, education, government, media, arts and entertainment, and business. How does this strategy help believers push back against the counterfeit movements and actually shape a culture in this critical hour?
Well, what's so funny about those seven mountains is actually, if you take a look at Gramsci, the Italian philosopher, Marxist, professor, so to speak, who Mussolini locked up. Now, you know a guy's dangerous when Mussolini locks you up. This guy said, we will accomplish our agenda through the long march through the institutions. So the seven mountains is nothing more than the deconstructing of how the left takes over societies that are like ours, where the free exchange of ideas and influence and initiative can go ahead and do what it wants to do. And they took over, they redefined marriage in the church, which affected the family. They went into education K-12, and 93% of your professors were all voting Democrats. So not surprisingly, we're producing a whole new generation of people who are taught what to think, not how to think. And they're coming out of our top universities and going where? Into corporate America, where you got DEI boardrooms in the business mountain. And then, of course, you're, these same elites end up populating these centers of media and entertainment and journalism, which is your arts and media mountain. And where do they derive that power in the collapsing of consensus-building institutions in the United States? That is that the role the church used to have and local organizations have. Government now becomes the one ring that rules them all. It's a zero-sum game. Whoever gets that Oval Office can impose their ideology on the masses, at least when it's in the hands of the left. They make you conform to their laws. So I just look at it and say, the Seven Mountains is how the left takes over democracies and turns them into progressive dictatorships. Now, the church, I introduced it to the church, and they kind of like stare at me, because when you put those seven verticals up, the typical church person, which is what I was and what I suppose I identify with because I pastored for 20 years, I get it. They focus on the church and their family. It's not every family, it's their family, which is why they get out of those secular schools and start Christian schools. So the church and family with some private, you know, charter education, we kind of like isolate ourselves like the Amish community from the corruption of the heathen. The problem is you don't shape a culture by isolating from it. You shape it by engaging. Salt and light are useless unless they encounter a place where it's dark and you need to preserve something. So that message, I've done it. It's a novelty item all over the church world. But it wasn't until Donald Trump descended that, you know, that golden staircase up there in New York that we entered a new era, Kevin. I think you can see the same thing, where thinking Christians began to realize, oh, my gosh, if we don't make a play for our own protection, the left with those mountains will encamp us. It'll isolate us. It'll actually make us guilty of hate crimes. It'll lock away freedom for our future. That's how I got there.
And it does it, like the mountain of business, it does it by telling corporations, you'll lose your bank account unless you go along with what we're saying, or you might not get that FCC license, you might not get this. And you know, we see it even in our cell phone company and with our money. And there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it or spend it or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions to these problems that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And that's your point, Lance, is who'd have thought we'd have to have a cell phone company to work with? Who'd have thought that? And yet they could cut you off, or they could take your money and spend it on crazy things. Patriot Mobile started, I think, because Alan West got beat by a San Francisco cell phone company, beat a congressional candidate in Florida.
Yeah. And they put their money towards good things, as opposed to some of the other companies that shall remain nameless. They put their stuff towards anti-life, anti-God issues, things. So.
But you're bringing up a very interesting thought, though, and which we very seldom get into. And that is that how does a people like us, how do we recapture the institutions? So once they've been taken, what do you do to recapture them? And the typical default position of evangelicals is revival and awakening. So they're praying and they believe that somehow some strong effusion of God's outpoured presence will produce a change in those mountains. But the historic reality is that awakening and revival is for the believer. And for the most part, it awakens Christians from slumber to awakening. You know, you were asleep when you wake up. That's what the awakening is. And if the people of God don't take that awakening and go into all the world the way the Great Commission was designed, we take it like go into all the geography and plant a missionary outreach. The idea is go into all the world, meaning all the systems, and bring Christian ideas and worldview into, like you're doing, with finance, with banking, with business, with government. America's prosperous because the ideas didn't stay contained in the pew. They got into the discourse of the founding fathers. It got worked and baked into the Declaration of Independence. So our real salvation in terms of cultural salvation or our preservation of liberty is in taking these powerful ideas and going to those institutions and mountains and advancing them. And where Reformation comes in, and this is the thing that is stimulating about Patriot Mobile, where Reformation comes in, when a system is so corrupted that it locks you out of reform, that means it won't change. This is why what you're doing with pirate money is so important. When it will not change, you have not wanting to offend our Catholic audience. I come from a Catholic background also. But in the Catholic Church, they needed a reformation.
Hey,
something
Lance,
had to come up and
we're going to have to unpack this and so much more throughout the show. We have to take a break first, and then we'll set the foundation. We'll be right back after this break.
Every day across the globe, big business agendas go unseen by investors. Things that go against your core values and beliefs. It's time to know your investments. Abortion. Alternative lifestyles. Gender and identity confusion. If you believe in protecting marriage and life, children, innocence, guarding masculinity, restoring families, defending religious liberty, invest with your values. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
All right, we're going to set the anchor on why we fly the pirate money flag, Spanish gold doubloons, pieces of eight, and founder's view of honest money. Marnie? Yeah.
Well, the Bible is very clear on this. In Proverbs 11:1, it says, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." But also in Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 15, "You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land with which the Lord your God is giving you."
And that's talking about money. People
right.
don't realize it. They don't realize
right.
a weight, a talent was a weight of gold.
Right.
And the scripture talking about weights and measures, it's talking about how you do money. When you have paper money, it can get burned up, and paper money is not real. They can print as much of it as they want. It's not. Mm-hmm. It is man's system, and we saw that in the movie. You were talking, Lance, about Awakening. Well, in the movie Great Awakening, they're yelling at Dr. Franklin at the beginning. Alexander Hamilton's yelling at him, "That paper money you produce is worthless." And Dr. Franklin had an awakening.
But it wasn't worthless to him, by the way, because he was doing the printing of it.
He was making money. Yes, that's true. That is a good point. But it fits the seven mountains. He thought we can do it our way, man's way, as a deist, and print all the money we want. It'll work just fine. And yet that's the world's way. And Lance, you talk about doing things God's way and taking those seven mountains. How do you see the battle over money and economics as part of the larger war?
That was where I was going to go after I kind of bled over into our commercial break. But here's what I was saying. The way in which we fight back is when an institution such as the Fed or such as Wall Street or such as liberal control of secular media, legacy media, when they refuse to respond to, let's say, reformation or reforming or modifying or even at least becoming more neutral, what happens is God allows the creation of a competing sphere. This is a really important idea with Reformation. Reformation starts with reforming the institution. Luther was a Catholic trying to work with the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church rejected Luther. They expelled and excommunicated him. Well, that just angered that German monk. So he fought back and said, "Well, you know what? Evidently, you're not as sacred as I thought you were, because the truth is more sacred than your corrupt political instincts." So a competing system is what God does. This is Rumble that comes up against YouTube. This is the MAGA movement that came up against the Rhino Republicans and the Democrat Party. This is This is new money that comes in tied to gold that competes with the addiction to paper money and the Fed. So in every place where God wants to bring reformation, he starts by bringing the truth to the original sphere. If it rejects it, a competing sphere is raised up, and the two begin to come in conflict. And out of those two in conflict, there's a new possibility of something coming out of it. That's how I see this. When you go to when you go back to gold, then you begin to tie into gold, you've created a competing system just as legitimate as the original, except it's built on greater truth, and therefore it has the possibility of succeeding.
Well, that is the only truth. That's biblical money. God only mentions gold, silver, and copper. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about here, going back to the basic truth, the truth, not just the stuff that man makes up, which we do all the time because we think we're greater.
Yeah, it's no, not. But God, what does he say? He says, gold and silver tested by fire are purified. What yeah. happens to wood, hay, and stubble that makes up paper money? It gets burned up, and we're coming up to trials of fire. But your point there is excellent. I have not thought of it in those terms. Reformation starts with reforming an existing system, but a competitive system will be created by God if the existing system doesn't reform. I see that in schools. We see both reforming in schools, but we also see homeschooling in private schools, and same with entertainment. You know, and it doesn't take long to realize that movies that serve the broadest population do better, like a Top Gun or you know, a Shrek or whatever. But movies that are woke and Hollywood's producing, they don't right. do so well.
Mm-mm. But they shine.
And there's a point there. In every mountain, Christians should be vigilant to see entrepreneurial opportunity in what God is raising up that can come against the Goliath that is dominating the field.
All right. We're going to cover this in depth in our next segment. It's a longer segment. We'll enjoy having Lance Wall now hang with us. And we'll be talking about the fake Christian movement right after this break.
Gold holds its value far better than the US dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in this sweet shop and pay with gold.
Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but this is, I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not. Using this. That's my MasterCard, and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Marnie, and Dr. Lance Wall now. And Lance, I misled you. This is another short segment that we're going to deal with. And we're talking about cultural really literally how movies and all of the different things in culture. Lance, go ahead. Fill us in on why does Shrek do better than these woke, crazy movies?
Sure. And this is a Hollywood phenomenon. Why do they keep investing in movies that they know the formula is offensive to the majority of Americans? But if they will only produce something which you can take your family to, it's going to make more money. And the reason is ideology trumps common sense in a lot of places. And that makes an opportunity, because when you're ideologically addicted to an outcome and market dynamics, you know, Milton Friedman style, your market dynamics are going to work its own way, and they're not going to support your ideology because people want something different. They want something wholesome. They want something entertaining. They want something that doesn't have a cringe factor. They don't want to be hostage to a baseball game or a football game where they have to take a knee or become part of your radical racial ideology, and they want to escape it. So our conversation is about, when Reformation hits culture, it will frequently put the institutions, as is happening now in Wall Street. This is what Trump's phenomenal impact is. He has tamed a lot of the wokeness. Who is it? Larry Fink finally comes out and says, listen, the DEI thing, we got to back up from it. It's not working. The only reason it wasn't working is because it was doomed in the start. It's an ideological Marxist idea. But it took Donald Trump and a movement like MAGA to put pressure on the business community to say, you want to play ball in my economy or you want to keep being woke and weird? And they said, no, we want to play ball with you. So we've got a moment now where the country is actually becoming, let's say, no longer intimidated, manipulated, or confused by woke ideology. Nevertheless, the left is so addicted, they're now putting candidates out that'll mimic or ape or parrot what they think is a religious segment of the population. They're so out of touch with Christianity that they think they could put anyone up there with a cross behind him and a seminary degree. And surely in Texas, they're going to vote for him because he's a faith guy. And they don't understand. It's a far deeper well of awareness in the faith community that is going to be bought by somebody using God rhetoric and posing with a cross.
Oh, there's no question. You know, and we're going to talk about that. I've got some clips from that fake Christian guy that I want to play in the next segment. But the founders risked everything for liberty under God. In your recent messages, you've highlighted bold leadership moves. How do you see this moment as a modern parallel to that founding spirit that we had? We're seeing Donald Trump. It's almost like we have a new founding, and you're talking about Reformation. And if you don't reform, then you've got to have competitive. How are you seeing founding fathers being raised up today?
Well, I'm seeing the finding the fathers. That's the interesting moment we're in. We're finding the fathers that can be founding fathers. And the difference between the kind of people that are showing up and the traditional people is, you remember like Knox, who came up and supported Washington. Our original leaders were shopkeepers. They were bookkeepers. They ran private businesses. They weren't ambitious political offspring of the aristocracy of England. They were landowners. They were merchants. And they felt the call to something higher. And so that this is something like Stephen Covey taught that I think is worth holding on to. The call of God in your life is the intersection of where your talent and your gifting is, where your passion is, and where there's a need that summons you, that is your conscience is stirred. We have now a generation of people whose consciences are being stirred, that they can't be silent, they can't keep backing up, they can't stand neutral and take a knee because of personal loss. That was the founders. That was the fathers God raised up as founders. They pledged their lives and fortunes and sacred honor, and it cost them. Now, those are the people that are rising up right now, and we're just beginning to see their impact because they're emerged. Charlie Kirk was a first fruits, and that precious young life went down into the earth like a seed, prematurely, too young. But I believe that in that soil of that martyr, there's a new generation like him rising up.
Well, there are young men everywhere turning to Christ. There's young women everywhere turning to Christ. They're going back to church because of the life of Charlie Kirk. He's influenced more, perhaps, in his death than he would have in his life. But we're going to cover this and politics when we come back with Lance Wallnau.
Some wireless companies say that they stand for something. What exactly do they stand for, and why won't they say it out loud? Let me tell you what Patriot Mobile stands for. They stand for the lives of the unborn. They stand for the Second Amendment and the right to protect yourself and your family. They stand for our veterans and first responders who sacrifice so much for our freedom. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile today and support a company that doesn't just say they stand for something, but one that stands for the things that matter the most.
Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
We're having a fascinating conversation with a good friend, Real true leader in the Christian movement, Dr. Lance Wallnau. I've read about him. I've learned. I studied him from afar, and then I met him, and he's even better in person than he is on camera, which is saying something pretty amazing. And Marnie, what else should we be talking with Lance about?
Well, I think we're getting ready to have him start preaching, but one of the things on my mind is the clips I've seen on the internet, you've seen floating around, that are frightening, that a guy that we've got running here in Texas for Senate who is redefining God and gender and family, and it is scary. And I saw those clips on the internet, and we have captured a couple. So, Russell, can you roll the first clip on what insults Jesus?
You know what insults Jesus? Deporting the stranger and separating babies from their mothers.
Wow, no deportation of illegal criminals. How is a border unbiblical? And yet, I think that pro-choice Tallarico, who says Mary is proof that God supports abortion rights, doesn't see the irony in the second part of that clip.
Wait, I agree that abortion insults Jesus and separating a mother from its baby. Hello?
I don't think he meant it that way. Do you think so, Lance?
Yeah, I was just the first thing I thought of. I thought, you know, you take that ninth-month terminated pregnancy, that's separating a mother from her baby.
Exactly.
And of course, Tallarico, what's interesting about his emergence is that two things. One is the left knows that the faith community is a vital, powerful part of the cohesion of the MAGA movement. And they know that they have to fragment it. They have to break it up. And if you want to look at the psyops that have gone on against Israel, you know, the Tucker Carlsons and the Candace Owens and the meltdowns with some of the influencers that were among the conservative movement, what you'll see is they've tried to break up Napoleon's old guard, which is the evangelical and pro-life Catholic alignment with Trump. They haven't been able to break it. So what they're figuring is, all right, if we can't beat them, let's join them. And so they're trying to raise up their own Christian-style candidates who are going to, of course, be wacko, progressive, liberal preachers, because that's the way a lot of these seminaries have gone. But what I see that's a more interesting development here, which is kind of scary, but I have to look at it prophetically, is in David's day, if you look at 2 Samuel chapter 10 or 1 Chronicles chapter 19, it includes a period in David's reign where he wanted to show kindness of a country where they had had a loss of their king. And he sent his ambassadors over, and his gesture of goodwill was misunderstood as a spying out the land. So they stripped the men of their clothes, they cut off their beards, and they sent them back. And David goes to God and says, I'm not trying to fight them, I'm trying to win them over. And look at what they've done. And the Bible says, the Lord let it happen to add to David's territory. We don't like it. Listen, most of us Christians are not really enjoying the culture war. We do because it's necessary, not because we wake up in the morning seeing who we can fight. We're peace lovers. We're not like this. We got drafted into this battle. But when the devil starts sending fake Christian statesmen into our face, it's God saying, okay, church, it's time that you came out clearly and refute what they're saying as Christians, because now it's not you going into politics. It's a fake Christian deceiving people regarding my identity, regarding what your theology is, regarding abortion, regarding homosexuality, regarding the sovereignty of your nation. What do you say? God is forcing the church into the political arena, whether it likes it or not, by sending a fake political Christian into our backyard.
That's a perfect segue to what does the Bible say? God made them male and female. What does Tallarico say? Can we roll that clip?
I want us all to be aware of is that modern science obviously recognizes that there are many more than two biological sexes. In fact, there are six, which honestly, Representative Hefner, surprised
me
too.
With you now.
Surprised me too, because I you know, am not well versed in this issue area. I'm not a scientist. I'm a politician. A lot worse than a scientist.
All right. He says he's a politician, not a Christian here, but
he's trying to walk this back, by the way. And it's
well,
not
how
working.
Do you walk it? He just said there are six sexes.
I know he's trying to do that. And Lance is right. And we have to stand up. Truth is truth is truth.
I took biology. I don't remember them. There's an X chromosome and a Y chromosome. If you're XX, you're female. If you're XY, you're male. I don't get where, you know, and there's some chromosomal damage there, but there that is. Doesn't mean that that is a separate gender. It just means that you happen to have chromosomal damage.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's going to be catnip for a lot of Christians when they start hearing this crazy thinking brought out there as though it's biblical. But like I said, I think that this is happening because God is for, let's face it, a lot of us have had a free ride in the church community because we had warriors that got out in front of us that were in the secular marketplace trade and exchanging blows. And like I said, Charlie Kirk was the first champion that came out from the church into the cultural arena and retained a strong Christian testimony in those places. And I think that he inaugurated a new era where Christians are going to have to be like Stephen. They're going to have wisdom from God and knowing how to refute the lies of the enemy, because the enemy is now coming into the area of faith. They, you know why? Because they know they can't win America without it. They can only deny faith so much. They have to now create a faith narrative.
Well, part of it is true is we do not know our scripture well enough to stand up or to these lies, but also to say this is inaccurate. Where can we see it? We need discernment, but you have to know your scripture to discern truth.
Well, and I
wonder what is...
Go ahead.
What is his six genders? I mean, the only thing I can think of is male and female. You mentioned what they are. I guess he's including men that think they're women and women that think they're men as a third and a fourth. And then some odd, you know, kind of like Siamese twins, individuals that are born with genital deformation that would make a guy that has female characteristics or a girl that has some male characteristics, but that's biological. That's not necessarily a new gender. And that's the only thing I could think of. So he's going to have to walk some of that back. He's got to walk back a couple of other crazy. Do you have any other quotes from him that are worthy of our note?
Oh, we've got one that's interesting because you said Charlie Kirk, and I knew Charlie Kirk from when he first started this. And I'll tell you, as he entered the political arena, he actually got closer to the Lord, not further. The more he got into it, the deeper he saw the need for Christ and the bolder he got.
Right.
But you can watch his clips. You watch 1,000 clips from Charlie Kirk and you will not hear him parroting something that he's memorized. What you will hear from Charlie Kirk is genuine, from the heart, intellectual every time. But Tallarico, we've got a clip where side by side he's on, I think, MSNBC and CBS. So let's play that clip number 3.
Well, you know, I've gone to every corner of Texas over the course of this campaign, from Beaumont to El Paso, from Amarillo to Brownsville, and everywhere in between. And I can't tell you the number of people who come up to me at the end of these events and whisper, I'm not a Democrat, like they're in the witness protection program.
If that's not fake, I don't know what is. And you've got this teaching on the fake Christian movement where he's out there. That's all he's doing. He's parroting something that he's had AI script for him, and then he's just memorized it and repeating it word for word.
But he also is insinuating the Christians are locked up and held prisoner, and they're coming to whisper in his ear that we support you, and when we can get out of jail, we'll help. It's insanity.
Well, yeah, it is. Well, and I, like I said, I think it's going to be a new season when you're going to hear religion getting more into the political. And even though we've been accused of, you know, of mingling the two, I think you're going to see the left coming out with it. I mean, let's face it, we don't talk about Islam a lot, but the Islamic agenda is one of the most clear dominion agendas you'll ever see. I mean, I've studied this thing with great fascination because they have a plan in their religion to actually take over every institution in the United States and to bring dominion. They call people like me a dominionist and a Christian nationalist. I've never been as aggressive about my vision of cultural integration, you know, takeover as the Muslim community is with the caliphate, or the progressive community is. And once they enter into an institution, they lock it up. And they lock it up so that it's not neutral. It's not open to ideas. It's exclusive. And I fear that this guy Tallarico is evidence that they're coming for the church, with a massive deception campaign, and it's going to force us to meet them at the gate.
Well, and that's the amazing thing is the progressive left doesn't have a problem with the Islamic takeover of institutions. They embrace it. They support it. They fund it. They welcome it. And it's all because they don't care about liberty. They don't care about individuals. What they care about is power. And they see this as a path to power for them.
There's a lot of people behind Tallarico that are calling themselves progressive Christians. And that's where we're at. A lot of Democrats, progressive Christians.
Well, it's as fake as the fake money that's not backed by gold and silver. Lance, hang on with us. We're going to get into some technology and Christian responsibility and all that. We're going to cover this in the next block, and we'll be right back with the great Dr. Lance Wall now after this break.
I'm outside Babe's, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is gonna be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I gonna fit all this in? I seriously actually don't know how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming. Do you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know, you may have to ask the cashier. I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm gonna pay with this, but I'm gonna pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babe's, yeah? How much gold did I pay? Gold, how many grams?
0.26.
Quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Success! Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Some wireless companies say that they stand for something. What exactly do they stand for, and why won't they say it out loud? Let me tell you what Patriot Mobile stands for. They stand for the lives of the unborn. They stand for the Second Amendment and the right to protect yourself and your family. They stand for our veterans and first responders who sacrifice so much for our freedom. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile today and support a company that doesn't just say they stand for something, but one that stands for the things that matter the most.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
I'm joined by the great Marnie Freeman, love of my life, and the great Dr. Lance Wallnau, who is not the love of my life, but I respect him a lot, think very highly of him. And support for this program comes from Glint. It's a financial technology service offering a debit card and a mobile app that enables users to access their gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault, and at the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. And I bring that up because on average, gold has been used as an investment and it's been limited primarily to the wealthy. So you have a minimum if you're going to buy it. And there's some great gold dealers out there with minimums. But with Glint, I can put $10 on a card and spend it, or $100 or $1,000. It is technology, and that's what I want to talk with you about, Lance, about the changing technology, because you've said things are changing. You said 2026 is not going to be what most people expect, and technology, I think, has something to do with that.
100%. You know, the first thing that I think is important to reframe is that it's always bothered me that Facebook or Twitter would be developed by secular minds, you know, because if the church really stepped into its inheritance, if it had a seven mountain worldview, they would realize, as I discovered, some part Ashkenazi Jew on my dad's side, and I realized I got rabbis on his side. Now, I'm 80%, you know, Gentiles, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but on my dad's side, there was a Jewish heritage. I found out there were rabbis there. And I looked at it, and 10% of the community would be in temple worship or temple maintenance. 90% was out expanding the land. Joshua's job was to acquire territory. And in my mind, 90% of the church is frustrated not knowing its calling because it thinks the call of God has to be sacred somehow in missionary, Bible, worship, church context, full-time ministry, versus your calling in science and technology or in finance or in business. In fact, if we don't have a worldview that's bigger, a lot of Christians miss the joy of fulfilling their destiny with confidence because they feel conflicted and compromised making money as though it's an evil. When in fact, you look at what the left does with money, it funds its cultural takeover. So we should, I just want to say in science and technology, I just did a quick look. Isaac Newton, Kepler, Gregor Mendel, Blaise Pascal, Michael Faraday. These were all Christians who realized God called me to science and technology. I'm going to worship God by exploring it. And I believe that these domains need to be invaded by more Christians who are able to go to the top of those mountains and say, Lord, give me the discovery that is necessary so they can control the intellectual property. And you know when we don't get that? Here's what we get. We pray and God goes and grabs a Donald Trump and says, you know, if I can't find someone else to do it, I'll use him. Or Elon Musk. Hallelujah. And he goes over and grabs Twitter and takes us out of jail.
Yeah, I'm thinking this, and the producer just spoke in my ear. Hey, this guy's so good, he should have his own show.
Speaking of.
But Letourneau is another example, a more modern example, Letourneau University. And I can think of all the great entrepreneurs, like the Green family at Hobby Lobby, that have funded the gospel.
Amazing.
No more siloing. No more siloing. The creator of the universe is going to give all this stuff through you, your calling.
You want to hear a crazy story? I got to tell you, it's quick. I know you got 57 seconds. Well, yep. I'll wait till we come back. I got a crazy story.
All right. We want to hear your crazy story. We're approaching the 250th birthday. I know, Lance, you're working with a lot of people and helping to celebrate that. But if you go through the history, and I've talked to Dr. Ben Carson about the history of black entrepreneurs and the history of Christian entrepreneurs. And you look at this and you realize this is how societies advance. They uncover and discover things that God's already put here that we can find and put to use for his kingdom. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about individuals. So you don't want to go hide as a monk in your church and say, keep me away from the world. You want to explore, uncover, discover. And then when you find things, to share them with the earth. You're a steward. God's given you gifts, and he wants you to use those gifts to produce his kingdom on earth. We'll cover this and more after this break.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And Marnie Freeman and Lance Wallnau just said, right, oh, I only have 57 seconds left. I've got a story to tell. What's the story, Lance?
What's the crazy story?
Yeah. You know, I hate to squeeze a great story into 57 seconds. So I'm speaking there at a business conference. And a guy comes up to me at the end and he says, do you know my tongue is insured for $5 million? I said, wait a second, why is your tongue insured for $5 million? Are you a wine sommelier or something? He said, even better than that, I'm the inventor of cookies and cream. I said, the inventor of cookies and cream? He said, that's right. He said, I'm a Pentecostal. Let me tell you how I did it. I was walking through the grocery store. I said, God, I need a creative idea. You're the one that reveals treasures hidden in darkness. There's an idea floating in the aisle. He said, I started praying like a Pentecostal. I prayed in the spirit. And as I prayed, the Lord had me go over and grab a tub of vanilla ice cream. And then I put it in there. And then he had me go over and get Oreo cookies. He said, that's it. Go home. He said, I bought the tub of vanilla ice cream, the Oreo cookies. I went home. I smashed the two together. I figured I got to do something with them. And when I smashed them, I created the recipe for cookies and cream. I immediately patented it, and I've made millions of dollars ever since then, and I'm a world-class ice cream taste tester. Now, that guy made a fortune praying in the Holy Ghost, going to a grocery store. And the point of the parable is this. God can take things that are right in front of you and reveal to you as a believer a new application, a new use. And if you don't mind me saying so, he hides these things from the wise and prudent to reveal them to babes, which means he takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'm praying that everyone listening to you in this audience will begin to seek God for the innovation that they can create or champion that will make a massive difference in the marketplace, and that they'll use their wealth to advance the transformation of culture.
Wow. I'm thinking of that, and I'm thinking, if I could only get chocolate and peanut butter. Oh, I think that's been done. Chocolate. Mr. Reese made a fortune from it. Reese's peanut butter cups.
I'm telling you, those Reese's Pieces and Reese's Cups. That's true.
So, Lance, we're coming to the end of our time, at least on Real Life Network, and then we've got one more segment for those on American Family Radio. But I want to hear, what are you doing for the 250th? Because we've got to celebrate all the great things that have happened in America, but then we also have to prepare for maybe 250 more if God is so gracious to let us continue with this American experiment.
Well, I have a confession to make. While I am interested in what we got right now, we're moving. I think I'm almost at the mall. I've come up with, along with our friends at United in Purpose, these five statues. Statues that will help educate people on the 250th when they go to Washington for the great festivals and ceremonies. We have Moses. We have Nehemiah. We have Ezra. We have Peter. We have Paul. These biblical figures, each of them has a QR code. And because of AI technology, you can look at the QR code on these 6.5 foot tall, beautiful bronze type like statues. And you could look at the animated story of them coming alive in three dimensions and talking about their faith in their day, the challenge they overcame, and how God used them. What a powerful tool. But my main concern is, while I'm excited about that, I'm worried that Christians all over the country are going to be celebrating the 250th. Up until November, my focus is making sure that we occupy those gates of influence, that we actually maintain that gate in government. I want to see Donald Trump break the record. You know, 90% of the time, the person in office, their party loses during the midterms. I want to see a reversal in that. So my energy is kind of a little bit divided up till this midterm, because I don't want us distracted by celebrating the 250th and missing the junction with destiny, because we have to preserve and protect the experiment that we've begun with Trump. We've taken ground. We have to hold it. Because they want to move us back, and we can't let that happen.
Great point. You know, it's interesting you bring that up. We actually had the inventor of the QR code on Economic War Room, our sister show, talking about election integrity, and the guy that created it and invented it. So that ties your two thoughts together, the celebrate and the move forward to the midterms. No. So anyway,
it's a cookies and cream revelation.
Cookies and cream.
I was just going to say that.
All right, Lance, it's been so great having you here. Thank you for sailing with us today. Thank you for visiting piratemoneyradio.com to learn more. For those watching on Real Life Network, until next time, stay faithful, stay free. But if you're on AFR or you follow us on our podcast, stay tuned. We've got a final wrap up with Dr. Lance Wallnau. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back
to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by Marnie Freeman and Dr. Lance Wall. Now, Lance, you've seen it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You're friends with the president, but you're also down to earth. You're so fun to be with. What gives you hope? Why do you have this? You know all these terrible things going on, and yet you always have an upbeat heart and spirit. How do you do it?
You know, I was looking at the circumstances, Kevin, of Washington during the first. We have to look at our history. How he was when he was up in Manhattan, and how he was up there on Brooklyn Heights, and how he almost got trapped, but God sent fog so that he could escape. And he was on a mission of survival. He lost so many battles, and yet providence kept showing up. That's what they called it back then, providence, which is the hidden hand of God that showed up and intervened on his behalf. And what I look at is I've learned to not focus on the incendiary news cycle of what the enemy's doing, but to see the providential hand of God. And I saw it in the assassination attempts on Trump. I saw it when they tried to lock him up. And that outrage meter in me keeps getting worked up. But then I began to realize the enemy cannot undo what God decides he's going to do.
Amen.
And so our job is perseverance, endurance, and faith. And I hate squandering the celebration by being upset about the next thing that didn't work out. So I'm learning to steward the fact that God is in the business of saving America. And when I look at who's on the field, I look at you, I look at your wife, I look at who we've got, and I say, there's a spirit of God motivating them because our generation won't fail. This is on our watch for our sons and daughters. God's will is that we will have success. And so he's going to extend grace in the United States, and that will touch the world, my friend. And Trump, I'm not calling myself prophetic, but I will say that I have had times when God has spoken to me. And when I double down on that, I've never been wrong. And one thing he said to me before the last election, I was in Jerusalem, preaching in Jerusalem to 100 different nations that were on the steps in Jerusalem. And the Lord said to me before I spoke, it is my will that Donald Trump be put back in as president for the sake of the nations. And I heard that because I'm obviously American obsessed. I'm like every other American. We're narcissistically preoccupied with make America great. And the Lord said, you think it's you, it's for the world. So every time I see Trump engaged in a world activity, I know God's resetting the table globally for the sake of this generation and the gospel.
No question. Wow. I mean, you removed Maduro, you've got Iran taken, you know, so many different things happening around the world thanks to the President Trump. Marnie, do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I just, clarity and discernment, know your history, know your scripture, and go forward and steward this nation, because this nation goes out to other nations. Like, I mean, I was thinking that when he was saying that. So it was a confirmation.
Oh, Lance, where do we reach you? Where do people follow you?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I got something coming out pretty soon. It's called lancewallnow.com/sanctify. It's the testimony of my wife, who's like Marnie. She's totally different than me, but complimentary. It's her. She was in the occult world and came out of it, and it's our story of supernatural encounters and spiritual warfare and how God taught us to walk in victory.
All right, we're going to pray for America, pray to return to God's principles, listen wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, and so forth. Share this with your friends. This is Kevin and Marnie Freeman, joined this week by Dr. Lance Wallnow for Pirate Money Radio.